We now want to present for you a podcast exclusive, an interview between Bishop Soto and Ned DeLessy. Ned DeLessy is a former executive director of the California Catholic Conference, which represents all the bishops of the state of California to the California legislature. We're going to bring you that podcast now.
Greetings. This is Bishop Jaime Soto. We are a few days actually before July 4th, when as Americans we celebrate the Declaration of Independence and the great experiment that is our country. And part of that experiment is the whole relationship of religious freedom and how people of faith engage the public square. That very core issue, which was important when the United States was formed, continues to be very important today. And I want to just share a few thoughts and reflections about that. And I'm also just delighted to have with us Ned DeLessy, with whom I have worked closely at the California Catholic Conference. And also we've worked on many issues regarding religious freedom. One of the things I wanted to point out and then ask Ned to comment is that oftentimes what we think of when we think of the more popular notion of religious freedom is that we tend to see it as a personal thing, that my ability to be able to express my faith or to act on my faith. But we oftentimes forget that religious freedom also includes not just ourselves as individuals, but also our institutions, and that particularly for us as a Catholic Church in the United States, our schools, our hospitals, our social services, and many of the things that we do that engage the community have a very religious character to them, and in the world that we live in today, that religious character, that public religious character, both as individuals as well as institutions, is being challenged. And it's important for us as Catholics to be very attuned to that and sensitive to that. And Ned, why don't you share a few thoughts on that?
Sure. Thank you, Bishop. It's good to be with you and good to have this conversation right before the 4th of July. I like where you were going with that. I think as Catholics, we have our personal faith and we express that in our relationship with the Lord and we're engaged in a lot of different, things in the world. But we also, as you point out, we are a very public church. We are the body of Christ in the world. And, in our American experience, we have expressed that by doing precisely what you say. We are the largest private provider of education, social services, and, healthcare in the United States. And we do these because we are the healing presence of Jesus, the teaching presence of Jesus, because we are the charitable presence of Jesus in people's lives. And that's why we do it. And so how we engage in that is very important. And it's a good time right now on the 4th of July to reflect as faithful Catholic citizens about how do we participate and what is this moment inviting us to? And, in our very polarized political experience, in our very challenging, COVID reality right now, and surrounded by various decisions that the Supreme Court is engaged in, all of which involve religious liberty, it becomes a wake-up call from the Spirit for us to say, what are we supposed to do here? We're entering into an election cycle again, and how are we going to respond?
One of the things that, we're waiting right now for a Supreme Court decision to come down, having to do with what they call the ministerial exemption. And that's going to be very important decision, because it goes to again our ability in our Catholic schools to be able to hire teachers who are willing to be of one mind with regards to Catholic teaching. And not only in terms of their own, not only in terms of what they say, but also how they live.
True, we had discussed when we worked hand in hand together at the Catholic Conference about Hosanna-Tabor, which was a 2012 decision, 9-0 by the Supreme Court, granting this ministerial exemption to private schools, private religious schools. And we have been living in that reality ever since. The court is now reviewing that particular decision, in light of the Fair Employment Act, and using two unfortunate optics on the case. But the reality is that the court is going to need to decide, do they allow that broad exemption, which we have, a right to, in my opinion, the fact that it's our schools, we run them for religious purposes, and, we're publicly out there. People do not have to choose to come to our schools. They don't have to choose to teach at our schools, but when they do, we have a right to say, this is the conditions and the reality within which we operate. And, how far does that extend? Does it extend all the way down to a janitor? Or does it extend to any person who's publicly in the classroom with students and teachers, or with students? And so that's what the court's going to decide. And it's going to be a very interesting decision. The court is very divided, 5-4, the justices seem to be going different ways on different decisions right now.
Well, I think one of the things that to the heart of this is that, I think obviously we know that there are religion teachers who teach religion, but in our Catholic schools, I mean, even if you're a science teacher or you're a history teacher or you're a literature teacher, that we believe that religion and faith permeates all these different areas, and the beauty mm-hmm. about a Catholic school is that we can really enrich our whole curriculum with the faith perspective, and help mm-hmm. us as disciples of the Lord Jesus, understand the Spirit's work in science and in literature and in history, and that somehow to all of a sudden say that only, let's say religion teachers are have the ministerial exemption and not other teachers, that could be a problem. But we'll see what the court decides on that.
Yeah, I would agree with you, and I think that would be given the nature of our Catholic schools, and our ministries are all different, but in our Catholic schools, they're catechetical experiences. Their formational experiences, and we have an expectation that the people who work and participate within that ministry of the church are willing to acknowledge the church's teachings and to do that. Now we accept a burden of forming those people and informing them and working with them and supporting them, but we're living in a culture that's pushing back very, very dramatically, as we saw on the on the whole question of LGBTQ ruling by the Supreme Court. The culture is pushing back and saying, you have to respect people and do that. So, I'm not totally optimistic the court's going to affirm everything we want on this. I think the court may come back and say, you have to define what is ministerial. And that will be an interesting question for the church. I'm not in favor of doing that. I'm just saying that given the cultural dynamics there, it's going to be an interesting moment evolving for us as a church.
But I think in a certain sense, it's important for people to understand how key is this religious liberty issue, and how that does, in the environment that we're in today, we're having to play defense in terms of protecting what are essential religious liberties and the mm-hmm. essential religious character of our institutions. But let me just change the
Very
topic
much so.
To, you know, let me just change the topic to, the public schools for a second. And what many parents don't always understand when their children are attending public schools is that they, as parents, that particularly with regards to sexual education that goes on in public schools, that Catholic parents can choose to opt out, to have their children not listen to or partake in the state's sexual education curriculum, which oftentimes is in conflict with with Catholic teaching, which teaches quite frankly a more sensible and a more human approach to our sexuality that helps us to appreciate sexuality as a gift from God. But that's not what's taught in public schools, and parents can exercise that option. Oftentimes they don't, and we've been recently trying to educate parents about that.
Yes, very much so. And it might be a bridge too far, but I like to remind folks that the public schools operate legally in loco parentis, in the place of the parents. And so there's supposed to be a dialogue and a conversation and a respect that goes on between the public sector who organize and run this and the parents who participate in it. And I think your approach is correct. I think it's an opportunity for us to educate parents and say, you don't have to be, a bad actor. You just have to be a responsible parent. And you have to participate and recognize that the public sector is not necessarily going to share your faith perspective on something, as you say, sexuality and education. They're not going to share that. And so you have to be assertive in terms of what you're doing with your children, but you also have to be assertive and involved as a parent in the public sector. And that is governed by some state law, but primarily by what happens in local school boards. And, we have to participate. We have to be there. We have to invite. We have to say, no, we need to discuss the opt-out. We need to discuss the opt-in. We need to discuss as parents with you as the school board what we are doing and how we're doing it. And so it's a challenging time for parents, but you're right on.
Yeah, well, this is just, those are just a couple of areas where religious liberty is important to us as Catholics, both in our institutions as well as our families. Mm-hmm. And I want to encourage people to learn more about religious mm-hmm. liberty. And please go to our website and see what the information regarding religious liberty, regarding the opt-out programs from public schools, and all the other information that's available to you on the Diocesan website. Thank you very much for listening, and thank you very much, Ned, for being part of the conversation.
Oh, my privilege, Bishop, and God bless, and happy 4th of July.